When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Well, the Mets played through the fog and the raindrops and the chilly temperatures, and they completed the sweep.
Sanger off second, Soto at first, pitch. Breaking ball hit hard towards short, past the diving Bichette, rolling into left center field. Sanger rounds third, he scores standing up. Soto goes first to third, Pete Alonso stays hot and gives the Mets a 1-0 lead with a single through the left side.
They would get another run with a sack fly from Brandon Nimmo. They would be up 2-0. They would wind up beating the Blue Jays 2-1. Keith Ratt on Mets Odyssey Radio. Three games against Toronto this weekend. Three Met victories. The one Saturday night was
a lot of fun.
Almost
three straight sellouts. I mean, almost 120,000 fans showed up for three games.
And not great weather the last couple days, too. So pretty cool that they had all those people there. Here was Alonso. This was on Mets Odyssey Radio post-game, a sweep in their first home series.
Team played really well this weekend. We were in the fight every pitch, every out, and just unbelievable job from the whole group of guys this weekend. Great job from the offense, pitching, defense. Everybody did their part.
Yep, man. We talk about pitching, as he mentioned there. Part of that would be Edwin Diaz. A little shaky, but he does get the save and did get Vlad Guerrero to end the game.
Just my pitches. I think I made a really good pitch to him down in the zone. I was trying to make him chase or hit a ground ball, and he got the ground ball to Lindor.
He did, and they were able to get the force play and end the game, Diaz on SNY. Also, speaking of pitching, David Peterson started 4 2/3, left the game, looked like he was hurt. Turned out it was not injury. Instead, it was illness.
Got the ball back, and then my vision just went blurry, and vision then started to come back and stomach turned over on me, and just felt worse with every breath I took, and just felt like I got punched in the stomach and was going to throw up, and that's when I stepped off, and then they came out and took some breaths, kind of went away.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, not fun.
No.
But I'm sorry I went through that, but I'm glad it wasn't like a shoulder injury or an elbow injury or something like that.
Appreciate the fact that he fought through it.
Yeah,
he did.
Threw 91 pitches and went almost five innings.
Bullpen gave you 4 1/3 scoreless. Max Kranick, the win. Diaz, the save, as we mentioned. Also of note, Toronto agrees to this 14-year extension with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. worth $500 million. You got the Mets home for the Marlins tonight. Kodai Senga, the start. First pitch, Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10. As for the Yankees, they looked down and out. They were going for the sweep. Looked like they were going to lose to the Pirates 4-1. But then the offense came alive in the ninth. Wound up tying the game on a two-run. So this Trent Grisham had himself one hell of a weekend. They tied the game, but unfortunately for them, push it ahead to the 11th.
And a pitch. Drive deep to left, and the Pirates have won this game. A one-hopper at the base of the fence. Tommy Pham got a base hit. Sawinski scores.
And that was that.
5-4
was the final. Dave Sims with the call here on The Fan. The base hit off of Devin Williams, obviously going out there with the ghost runner at second. Says he wish he could have held it there.
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job battling back there in the ninth. You know, giving us a chance to win. Weave did a great job. Board there for two innings. And, you know, couldn't get it done.
And they didn't. And so both teams, the Mets and the Yankees, now 6-3 through their first nine. Today, the Yankees will play in Detroit. It was supposed to be a night game.
Yeah.
Moved up because it's going to be 40 degrees with 20-mile-an-hour winds, and the real feel will be 26 degrees, and
wow,
there's a possibility of snow.
You said winter was over.
Around here, I don't see any snow. Seems pretty good around here. I don't live in Detroit, do you?
You said you were playing golf in a driving rainstorm.
Does it not rain in the summer? I didn't say it was a blizzard. I said it was rain.
You said winter was over. Now you're telling me
winter is
starting
over.
A game early because of weather.
I don't live in Michigan. You live in Michigan?
I don't live in Michigan.
I mean, it's probably pretty cold in Alaska, too. I don't think we need to talk about their forecast.
Okay.
But yeah, pretty good around here.
Mr. Winter is over.
Winter's been over for 2 months.
See, I was with you on this.
It's over.
You said that.
It's not snowing. It's over.
Wasn't over for 2 months.
This game will be on Sports Radio 660 AM at 2:30 as we split the signal. It'll be Carlos Rodon and Casey Mize. Now, I'm going to take you back to Friday. This was before Phillies-Dodgers. The media was talking with Bryce Harper, and they were asking him about the Dodgers basically signing everybody in the world.
I don't know if people like this, but I feel like only losers complain about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what did the Phillies go out and do? Took two out of three, including yesterday.
Ground ball, left side. Muncy takes the second hop. Feeds second for one. Throw to first. Not in time. Sosa digs it out, and the Phillies have the lead. It's 8-7.
And that was Phillies radio with the call. That would hold up as they would win the game 8-7. Along the way, Nick Castellanos hit a mammoth home. Well, look at this. Oh, right on time. They hit just a huge grand slam in this game. And so the Phillies wind up taking two out of three from the Dodgers, who went into that series unbeaten. And I guess the Braves won one game this week,
they had one
rained out. So they're one in eight now on the season. So more baseball along the way throughout the course of the morning, but a lot more to get to, including your Knickerbockers, who did get Jalen Brunson back, not Saturday, but he was back yesterday. But it was OG Anunoby leading the way as they beat the Suns.
Anunoby feeling it. As is Booker. Anunoby on the drive. Reverses. Count.
Oh. Yeah, that was Mike Breen on MSG. Count it all. How about this line? 13 of 17 from the field, 6 for 8 from three-point range, and 32 points for Anunoby. Knicks beat the Suns 112-98. Mikal Bridges at 22, and Jalen Brunson was back 15 points in 34 minutes. Here was Anunoby on MSG. We, as a team, ready to take off.
I think the sky's the limit. We're a really talented team. We're tough. We're hard-nosed, and just getting ready for the playoffs.
And getting healthier.
Okay, well, this is like the same thing that we hear after every home game that they win.
Yeah.
We hear the same thing.
Well, we hear the same thing tomorrow night after they play the Celtics.
We'll see.
Probably not.
Well, you don't know them that. Here's Karl Anthony Towns having Brunson back, the importance.
Cap adds a lot of layers to our offense, so hit a big three at the end when we really needed it, and just doing a good job of commanding offense.
50th win of the season for the Knicks.
I tell you, you'll get the fan base fired up, though, if they beat the Celtics tomorrow night. I mean, this close to the postseason, having not done it all year, if they play a complete game and beat them and they didn't sit everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be
part of it, too.
I mean, yeah, that would be a huge deal, because I think that there's a lot of Knicks fans that are nervous more than anything, not true believers.
Yep.
Even though they've got another 50-win season.
I believe as it sits right now, they would play Detroit, the 3-6 matchup.
Yeah, and they're not going to get the number two. So, and they're not going to lose. They're not going to lose. Well, the Pacers are three games behind them, but, you know, the Celtics are 9-1 in their last 10.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, we've established
they're pretty good. There's only a handful of games left. They're going to be three.
Yeah, they're going to be three, yeah.
The Nets lost to the Raptors 120-109. The UConn women won the national championship as they beat up South Carolina 82-59. I apologize for not knowing how to pronounce her name, but I guess it's Azzi Fudd. Is that right? You're laughing.
Azzi.
Azzi Fudd? All right, she was the most outstanding player in the Final Four. She had 24. She was on NCAA Westwood One Radio afterwards talking about teaming up with Paige Beckers and going out and getting it done.
So, I mean, this is what I came to Connecticut to do with her, to win with her, and we haven't even gotten to play that many games together. So to finish it off, finish her last year like this strong, I mean, like I said, it means more than words can describe.
Beckers had 17 as they win their 12th national title as they just keep on keeping on. Tonight, Florida plays Houston in the men's championship. Westwood One's coverage on The Fan begins at 7 p.m. Now, I'm going to give you the final seconds from Saturday, which is why Houston is in this thing, as they completed that crazy comeback and beat Duke.
James, long pass down the floor. Cryer tips it. Loose. Knipple has it. Throws to Proctor. Heaves up a three. No good. Houston from behind. 14 down. To the national championship game.
Yeah, they end the game on a 9-0
run. No Christian Laettner on this team.
No. But it's so interesting to me. Obviously, you know, doing the Rutgers games, I'm sure you deal with it with Maryland when you watch them. You sit there and say, like, oh, my God, how do they allow runs like it happens to every team. Like, that Duke team couldn't score over the final 90 seconds.
Right, and there was a post on X that basically said, I want to say with about 45 seconds ago, Duke was had a 96.5% chance to win the game.
Yeah. That old win probability thing.
Yes. Incredible.
The guy's got to go out there and get it done. So it sets up Houston and Florida tonight.
This hey, Stephen Waldron, do you have any video of Jim Nance in tears after Houston won this? Apparently he was crying.
He was.
They got lots of, of that. So if you could find that somewhere, that would be amazing. Thank you.
Maybe we'll have that throughout the course of the morning. All right, let's get to the Islanders and Ovechkin last night. The Islanders do beat the Capitals 4-1. But along the way, we did see, oh, there we go. They've got Nance on TV.
Not crying, though. It's just
not yet. Well, the,
hanging out.
A lot
why,
of the
why
crying.
Is he standing up and everybody else is sitting down?
To be seen.
I don't know. So will he be in Augusta today or is he going to be at the game tonight?
It's a great question. I mean, he's probably going to have to tonight. Be at the game.
And be at Augusta first thing in the morning?
Yeah, just show up later than he normally does.
I mean, he was crying.
He has it's to be there. Mean- it's a national championship game, yeah. I mean, that's like a Sophie's choice for him, man. You know, national championship game, Houston, or like... Well, showing up just, to the Masters late.
Not, you got to remember, for years and years and years, he called the final championship game.
Yes.
So,
but
he'll
be this
there
is
as
the
a fan.
First time ever that he doesn't have to.
Well, which is good for him because he doesn't have to worry about being, you know.
Oh, I see. So he's always shown up on Tuesday.
He's always
anyway.
Shown up yeah, yeah. on Tuesday anyway. So,
he'll be there
he'll
tonight.
Be there. Of course, he'll be there.
He might ball his eyes out if they win.
Yeah.
Now, would you cry if Rutgers won? Well, you didn't go to Rutgers.
I think I actually was thinking of this because I saw the story. I think the only way I would get emotional and situate as if one of my kids was playing. I didn't cry when the Cowboys won. No.
Yeah, I wonder why he was crying.
You tell me.
Know,
you
when
know
these guys
him.
Get older, they get a little more emotional,
wait,
a little
minute,
softer.
Time out. I'm not crying if Maryland's winning.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not. You're unlike most guys. You know,
you mean I'm unlike most guys. I'm a man.
Yeah, I know. You've retained.
I'm a man!
You've retained your very. Your exoskeleton when it comes to these things, and Jim's a little softer. You know, that's what he is, just a little more sensitive.
He does. You see him,
nothing
you
wrong
see
with
the aura.
Yeah, nothing
you
wrong with
Jim Nance.
And you're probably thinking too,
very,
like, you
very,
know,
like, soft, like, I feel like there's like a soft cloud around him.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't call the Final Four anymore. And I mean, he's probably, do you think part of him's like, of course, Houston's about to win a championship, and I'm not calling it? Great.
No, I don't know. Houston's never, they've been there, but they've never won it, have
right.
they? So maybe Jim is really close with the coach, and he
Calvin
feels
Sampson,
for him?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Because you remember, Edward, he called all those games.
The fly slam a jammer, right? Did that team win? But that was before
well,
Nance was
about,
calling him, though.
Yeah, I'm talking about Kelvin Sampson. I'm just wondering, I don't know. Maybe that's why he's emotional? I'm not sure. But I think if my kids were there, I might be. Other than that, I don't know. If Jersey City State College won a D3 national championship. I don't know. You went to Kane University. How would you feel?
I probably wouldn't care.
Stony Brook? Okay, never mind. All right, let's get to Ovechkin. Last night at UBS Arena.
Dylan Strome, he and Chychrun will team up and glide through center. Right side to Wilson. Centered up. Ovechkin has it. He scores! He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores 895! There's a new goal-scoring champion, and his name is Alexander Ovechkin.
Kind of rings like Henry Aaron. There's a no-home run champion.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
His name is, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the same thing, yeah.
And he's a very good announcer, but I just sounded like the Aaron home run call. Anyway, 895, Wayne Gretzky, the Islanders win 4-1. Gretzky's on the ice with him. It's very interesting. This is Ovechkin's moment, the initial comments from Gretzky.
First of all, I wanted to say it's nice not to be at the Nassau Coliseum because I lost a lot of games there.
Okay.
I thought that when I first heard that cut this morning, I thought he was going to say, because that place was a piece of crap. But he said I lost a lot of games.
He did not, and then he would go on and continue.
Secondly, history of this organization from Mr. Torrey and Mr. Arbor. Got to sit with Brian Trotsch and Butch Goring today. Just such wonderful people.
He's being kind to the home team.
He's being very kind.
Which is great.
Pander spot. Smart.
Total respect.
Yeah.
I thought he was looking for a job.
Total respect.
And then...
It's the greatest game in the world. I want to congratulate every organization, the commissioner in the league. And to the referees,
oh my God,
Yeah, Ovi's like, I'm standing right here, Wayne. Hello. I'm right here.
Did he get to me, please?
He did get to a Ovechkin.
I wish the Islanders and the New York fans all the best, but we're here today to celebrate this guy here, number 8.
And then he gave him the handshake, said he would be there, and there was a lot of very nice things that he said about him. Here was Ovechkin, lots of gratitude.
Like I always said, all the time, it's a team sport, and without my boys, the whole organization, the fans, the trainers, coaches, I would never stand there, and obviously I would never pass a great one. So, fellas, thank you very much. I love you so much.
And then they traded him to L.A. because he was drinking Coors Light.
Right, which he was.
They said he was fat and out of shape.
He shrank himself into oblivion and traded him to the Kings.
Yeah. Anyway, you got the Rangers play the Lightning tonight. And in golf, Brian Harman won the Texas Open, and it's Masters Week in Augusta.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.